Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Certainly no objection to what you've proposed, but just a question. In having put in new rules regarding participation of observers, had we made a decision as to whether the existing organization fathered? Because in some ways that the review that you were speaking of would address that, but had we agreed that we would, that the existing observer organizations would continue organizations so long as they met the criteria for being continuing members, or perhaps having the observer organizations go through the assessment criteria even though they may have been observers for quite some time?
Thank you, Canada. I think that's the dilemma we are in, and maybe we would again seek the advice from the legal counsel, but I have the secretary wanting to say something before. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Indeed, that is one of the points the secretariat wanted to raise at the end of this agenda item, but I think the time is now to raise this issue. Since some time, the Codex Secretariat was planning to implement the review of the observer status of existing observers. In the old rules, in the old principles, there were options for such review. However, due to the fact that the revision of these principles were imminent since some years, we were holding the starting of that exercise since some time. Now that the new principles concerning participation of INGO are in place, the Secretariat is planning to start the review exercise of the existing observers. And when we started a close look of the provisions of the principles, we found ourselves in a situation that was not very comfortable as to how to interpret the first paragraph of Section 6 of the document, which is on page 39 of Procedure Manual in English version. It's the Section 6 of the principles concerning the participation of international non-government organizations in the work of Codex, and the Section 6, Review of Observer Status. The first paragraph states that the Director General may terminate observer status if an organization no longer meets the criteria that applied at the time it was granted observer status, and for reasons of exceptional nature. According to one possible interpretation, the same criteria that was valid when one organization was granted observer status continued to apply to the organization, resulting in the situation different rules apply to different observers. In addition, the Codex have had a number of observers that were granted observer status even before the first set of principles were adopted. So the question could be raised as to whether those observers can ever be assessed or reviewed by the Codex Secretariat or by the Directors General of FAO and WHO. Of course, those observers were granted observer status according to the relevant rules that applied at the time by FAO and WHO, but not in accordance with the Codex rules. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, the Secretariat's proposal would be that the Executive Committee requests the Committee on General Principles to clarify the intent of the first paragraph of the Section 6 of the Principles document and provide guidance to the FAOs and to the Director General of FAO and WHO Codex Secretariat on how to implement the current provision. So this was the point which they should raise at the very end, but I think it was appropriate because the similar question was raised as to the consistency in the application of the current rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that. Legal counsel, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Two elements by way of context to this. The purpose behind Article 6 was to provide for the possibility of review of the organizations in observer status with Codex. In that sense, it's unlikely that it was intended to grandfather permanently, preserve permanently any particular NGO. Our understanding is that wasn't the intent, and a natural reading of the clause doesn't suggest it's the intent either, although it's very clear that there was an intent to make sure that organizations would be judged by the standards they were judged at the time they were admitted. That's clear because it provides in the first paragraph that criteria are concerned that applied at the time an organization was granted observer status. It's been argued that if there were no criteria, then there... I think the answer to that is criteria here is being used in a very general sense. Not, it is a small C criteria, if you will, not a capital C, not a specific reference to another part of these principles. And the presence of some criteria or other, going back to the throughout the history of Codex, can be found based on the practice of Codex, based on the overall purposes of Codex as articulated in the general principles of Codex, but also criteria can be derived from those of the parent organizations, the WHO and the FAO. You can find, for example, principles and criteria governing the relations between the WHO and non-governmental organizations going back to the 1960s that were in place during this entire time and that informed judgments about admissions of organizations into relationship with Codex. So I think criteria here has to be understood in a general sense, and that therefore we're not excluding in answers, in a specific answer to the question of the delegation of Canada, excluding the intent was not to exclude or preserve for perpetuity certain organizations that just happened to be admitted at a time before these rules were adopted. There's one other thing I'd like to point out about this is that this desire to review the status of organizations is based on three possible grounds in this language. That is, there's three possible reasons for a termination. The first one is if an organization no longer meets the criteria that applied. The second one, and it's in the alternative, it's an or, is for reasons of an exceptional nature. The third grounds is found in the next paragraph, where it provides that if an organization hasn't sufficiently attended meetings, there's another basis for termination of the relationship. So it's broader than merely a question of criteria. The utility in this in some way could be useful in future applications of this rule and in what will hopefully be perceived as a fair process of review as time goes on under this rule. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, legal counsel. And Canada, I hope you are satisfied with that explanation. And I think we could also add the request from the Secretariat that we request CCGP to clarify further the intent of paragraph 1 of Rule 6?
Paragraph 1 of Section 6.
Yeah, paragraph 1 of Section 6.
And with due input from the legal services of the
Convention. Yeah. So we would also add that we request CGP to clarify the intent of section of paragraph 1 of 6 and of the input of the legal counsel from WHO.
Just a second.
Yeah. So I hope that would be our conclusion on the discussion on the BUC application. Vice Chairperson Wim, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarification, when you summarized the discussion we had this morning, you also said that we have to postpone the decision pending further information. And my question is, does that equals a potential review? Or is it something different what you had in mind? So maybe you can clarify this element in your summary, Mr. Chairman, where you said, yes, that we need further information. And then what does that mean? By whom and by what time, if it is different from the discussion on the review? So please, maybe you can clarify.
As was asked by Canada, and I said that was the dilemma, and it was clearly put by the Secretary, is the review exercise. And I mentioned that because from the discussion, it almost sounded unfair to say no to BUC while there are other organizations which did not apply the current rules and they are observer members. And of the clarification, we hope we shall be able to come up with a clear policy on how to handle such situation. Okay. Samoa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I fully support the decision you just read out. I just want to add that I think it would be important in the review to look at the situation regarding the endorsement of the umbrella body if an affiliate body should apply for observer status. What I mean by this is whether we should consider the application by an affiliate body completely independent of the views of the umbrella body which is already granted observer status or not. I would not want the codex to be seen to be a majority of such organizations in accepting, irrespective of the views of endorsement or otherwise of the umbrella bodies. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Reference to the govern rules, and of course you heard from the legal counsel, he mentioned the last paragraph of section 4.2, observer status at specific meetings will not normally be granted to individual organizations that are members of a larger organization authorized and that intends to represent them at this meeting. So really, at the back of my mind, I heard that these are the issues that they need to be addressed. And precisely not to undermine the intent of the large organizations by the individual member organizations applying for separate observer status. So if the committee is comfortable with that summary, then can we go to the next agenda item, Secretary?
Thank you, Mr. The next application is set out on page 6 in the English version. In fact, it is Annex 2 to document CX/EXEC/06/58/4. The application was received from Natural Solutions Foundation, acronym being NSF, whose headquarters is located in the United States. You may find all the information against each of the criteria. And you may also find the bylaws of this organization in a separate document, CRD1, starting on page 19. Mr. Chairman, from the Secretariat went through the information provided and assessed, make a preliminary assessment of those the information against criteria, the conditions set out in criteria. And it is our observation that the organization was indeed established in February 2004. According to the principles we have been discussing about, the applicant organizations needs to have been established at least 3 years before they apply for observer status. This provision is found in B, in section 3, principles. Therefore, the Secretariat draws the attention of the Executive Committee that this applicant organization does satisfy one of the prerequisite criteria. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Secretary, legal. Let's now also listen to our legal counsel from WHO. Legal counsel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there was some expression of a case which would be easily decided on legal grounds, and clearly decided on legal grounds. This is one such case. It's very clear that there is no discretion with respect to the principle found in Article 3E regarding the establishment 3 years prior to application. Given that there's no discretion in application of that rule, and given that that rule is not satisfied by the applicant, then there would, as a procedural matter, no way to provide a grant of admission at this point. Of course, the organization could apply within 2 years under Article 4.2 for reconsideration at that time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, our legal counsel. Cameroon, please.
Bien, merci, Monsieur le Président. Merci au secrétariat pour les informations suivies et fournies, et également au conseil juridique. Comme probablement sur le plan juridique, les critères, surtout le critère de l'ancienneté, ne peut pas être rempli. Et comme nous savons que l'organisation a la possibilité de redemander l'admission après 2 ans, nous souhaiterons que, au moment où, si cette organisation trouve nécessaire de refaire une demande après 2 ans, ce qui est écrit sur les renseignements supplémentaires sur NSF, figure de la couverture de demande d'entente, où il est dit que NSF vise à appuyer et à renforcer la participation des pays en développement au processus du Codex. Nous souhaiterons donc sur ce plan qu'il donne des éléments nous permettant de voir clair pour nous les pays en développement quelle est leur implication pour appuyer la participation des pays en développement. Parce que nous souhaiterions à ce moment-là avoir des éléments justificatifs pour pouvoir nous prononcer en tant que pays en développement. Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Cameroon. Any other views from the room? Belgium, please.
Oui, merci, Monsieur le Président. Indépendamment de la question juridique des 3 ans d'existence de l'organisation, mais dans 2 ans, ils vont pouvoir présenter une nouvelle demande. Donc, on va se retrouver dans la situation où nous sommes aujourd'hui. À la différence, c'est que le délai de 3 ans sera résolu. Mais je me demande quand même, parce qu'il y a certains points qui me semblent dans le document que nous avons devant nous, d'après les principes qui guident l'admission des organisations non gouvernementales en tant qu'observateurs au Codex, il est clair que ces organisations doivent, et c'est dit au paragraphe 3, avoir un organe directeur, un secrétariat permanent, des représentants dûment habilités, procédures et un mécanisme leur permettant de communiquer avec leurs membres dans les différents pays, etc., etc. Or, nous lisons que cette organisation n'a pas de membres, qu'elle accepte des membres affiliés, mais la liste est privée et confidentielle. Alors, est-ce que nous pouvons accepter de discuter de ce genre d'organisation et de leur accorder un statut d'observateur à des organisations qui n'ont pas la provenance des fonds est confidentielle et privée? À notre avis, rien que cela devrait clore le débat déjà pour dans 2 ans. C'est-à-dire ne pas accepter telles organisations. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Belgium. Well, seeing no another flag, then I think the Executive Committee advised the Director General of FNWHO not to grant observer status to this organization for the reasons that, first of all, they have not met the requirements in 3E, as advised by the legal of WHO, and of course, as to, again, its membership, which is not very clear. And we leave it at that. Okay, any observations to this summary? Thank you very much. Then I think we conclude that agenda item. Is there a question to that?
Yes, we have
So I really wish to thank our colleagues from WHO Legal Counsel for availing their time and stayed with us. And now I wish to request the committee to go back to agenda item 8. And I'd wish the secretary to introduce, and then we break for coffee and we can come back for the discussion after coffee. We have about a minute or two. So, Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand there will be no time for discussion before coffee. Briefly introduce one document and make one proposal. The documents that fall under the item 8 of the agenda of this committee are rather numerous. Document slash 9C, its addendum 1, its addendum 2, and addendum 3. In fact, Mr. Chairman, many of the issues contained in these documents are really for decision and might not warrant a lengthy discussion at this committee. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, I would propose to the committee through you that under this item, the committee concentrate on making a focused discussion, which should not be a longer one, on only those items that were referred from the last session of the Commission, which are found on the first part of the 9C document, the main document. These include 3 sub-items. One is the future work on anti-resistance. The second item is future work on animal feeding, and the third item would be the implementation of WHO global strategy on diet, physical activity, and health. So, Mr. Chairman, this is my proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and I hope the committee accept the secretary proposal, and we'll break for coffee, please. We come back at 11:30. Okay? Thank you. Okay, welcome back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, and we can continue with the agenda item, and it was introduced by the secretary, and as the secretary mentioned, it's really an agenda item to be acted upon by the commission, but we can have some general discussions, but I don't think as executive committee we are expected to come up with any recommendations to the commission. And as it was also mentioned by the secretary, we should usefully spend our time on the two sub-items, or rather three. First is the future work of antimicrobial resistance in Codex, and then secondly, future work on animal feeding in Codex, and the third one is implementation of the WHO Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity and Health. And unless the secretary has anything specific to say on future work on antimicrobial resistance, I'm tempted to open the floor for discussion. Secretary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I don't have much to say at this stage. I think the whole process is clear to the members of the Executive Committee. We had a massive discussion already ago in the Executive Committee and the Commission. And the Commission almost decided that the matters can be taken up as new work by the Commission by a way of establishing a Codex ad hoc intergovernmental task force. But at this stage, we do not have the names, the official name for the task force. And if task force is really going to be established, the Commission will have to decide on the exact terms of reference of this new subsidiary body, rather than a working mechanism to do the work in collaboration between the different committees. I lost my document. I have to find it again. Excuse me. And addendum, do you have?
Yes,
thank you very much. And the addendum 1 to 9C contains actually the comments made by the member countries and 1 to 3 observer organizations, because the Commission at the last time decided to again request the views of member countries on this matter before taking its final decision on how to proceed at the session next week. And addendum 3 documents presents the comments from IFAH, which for logistic reasons could not be included in addendum 1 document. So, Mr. Chairman, we have on table for discussion the historical background that is presented in paragraph 1 through 7 of the main working document, and governments and observers' comments presented in addendum 3 to this document. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary, and I wish to open the document, the discussion. If any member has anything to observe or comment on, seeing none, then as committee, we do note that a circular letter was circulated as asked by the Commission, and that comments have been received from member countries and observers listed, and this will be for use by the Commission next week.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's just to note that there are a lot of good comments on the terms of reference, the potential terms of reference, if it is agreed to have the task force. And maybe it could be a way forward that the Executive Committee could suggest already now to the Commission that maybe an informal working group could get together over lunch at, you know, one of in the beginning of the commission, because if we only get to this agenda item as agenda item 11, you know, Friday morning or something like that, then and if there is a need to try to join these good suggestions together in a compromise text, then that will be very late. And I think it's not like there are major differences in the comments, but it's just that it's very important how you angle these different things. And I think it can be done just by a 1.5 hour, 2 hour working group of the interested countries, so that there will be a more clear suggestion on the table for the agenda item. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. Proposal from WHO that as an executive committee, we should recommend to the Commission to have some sort of in-session working group to look at the, let's say, comments and come up with some terms of reference for the ad hoc task force if, the decision has been made to have that ad hoc task force. So if we can have an in-session working group to come up with the terms of reference and also the name of the task force before discussion of the agenda item. That's a proposal from WHO, and I hope, Korea, you're supporting that proposal. Korea, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to briefly introduce what the situation is in Korea now. So it is my understanding that Korea is almost ready to host such a task force, including the budget issues and the human resources. Just introductions. Also, in order to develop more specific and detailed terms of the reference, Korea is also planning to organizing some kind of the expert consultations or the pre-organization meetings before passing 2006, including all the experts from Food High, CCR, VDF, and FAO, WHO, OIE, and also in the Codex Secretariat. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's the brief introductions.
Thank you, Korea, and I think we can also note in our executive committee report that Korea has shown interest to host this, and they already have resources available, and they are also prepared to start some preliminary work on the task force. Switzerland, please.
Thank you, Chair. Korea also requested information about current projects in this domain, and perhaps it would be helpful if there would be presented a short overview of the results of these inquiries. Thank you.
Thank you, Switzerland. I don't think I got it right. I mean, could you repeat, please?
Well, there was a request about an overview of the current projects in different countries in the domain of antibiotica resistance. And I thought Korea was gathering the results of it and could provide a short overview in the Commission meeting where we are and how the replies was on this request. Thank you.
Thank you, Switzerland. Maybe, Secretary, you can recall something on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The background of the intervention from Coordinator for Europe is the following. Subsequent to the last Commission session, the circular letter 2005/33 was prepared and circulated. It contained two parts, Part A and Part B. And Part A concentrated on the concrete proposals and observations on the terms of reference of new codex work. And Part B requested information on the national actions and policies, whatever, in dealing with the containment on COVID resistance, and part B, the information on part B were sent for compilation to WHO and to and through WHO the Republic of Korea. So therefore, the request made by the coordinator for Europe consists in to share the information collected in response to that part of the circular letter. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Correa, please. Correa, if you don't really have straight position, can we then ask WHO to assist? WHO, please.
Yes, we will provide a description of what has come in together with Korea also during the agenda item. And of course, if there is a working group, an informal working group before that, we would also present it there. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Me quedó una duda de la presentación de Corea. Creí haber entendido que iban a convocar en Corea a un grupo de expertos con gente de la FAO, la OMS y distintos países o expertos de distintos comités del Códex. Lo que tengo es la duda respecto al procedimiento, si eso se haría bajo la aprobación de la comisión o si esa una iniciativa de Corea, una iniciativa de tipo nación, y que ellos luego contribuirían a distribuir también esa información, pero que no sería de alguna manera vinculante para el Códex. Eso es lo que no me queda claro. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina. Well, I thought when Korea was mentioning that was an indication of how he is to handle the task force, and it had no real implication to our work, but maybe Korea.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. Yes, indeed, as you explained in the Mr. Chair, you're right. So once we approved to establish the new task force, so maybe we need more practice and to learning from the old experts. So we are planning to organize some kind of the pre-organization meetings or call the expert consultation. It's not officially decided yet, but we are planning to organize some kind of the expert meetings to develop more specific and detailed in terms of the reference in the task force, also in the preparatory the Codex meeting in Korea. So it's not the procedure manual of the Codex. It's kind of the preparation of the national itself. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Korea. So really, Argentina, that is a national initiative rather than Codex FAO-WHO initiative. Seeing no any other flag, then I think we leave it as that. And if we can continue to the other part, please. Ms. Cameron, please.
Oui, Monsieur le Président, je ne sais pas. Comme il y a eu une proposition pour la création d'un groupe de travail intra-session, est-ce qu'on peut avoir une idée de... On peut discuter ici rapidement de quelle peut être la composition de ce groupe de travail? Est-ce que c'est une proposition?
Thank you, Cameron. Usually that membership will be open to any of the interested member states represented in the in the commission. And I don't think we do restrict membership. Maybe WHO can add something to that. Secretary. Okay, Secretary.
Thank you very much. It is rather... it is not very common for the Commission itself to establish a working group, but we do have precedences. For instance, when the Commission decided to establish the task forces that were all dissolved by now, But at that session, I remember it was 95 session. The commission session 95 did establish in-session working groups whose membership is open to all members, and then they drafted terms of reference, reported back to the plenary, and the plenary subsequently adopted the terms of reference. So we could follow that approach with the understanding that there would be no limitation to the membership of the working group. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that explanation. Then can we look at the next one is the future work on atmosphere in Codex.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Animal feeding is an area Codex actually started in mid-1995 by establishing a ad hoc task force on animal feeding. And this task force, hosted by Denmark, finished its work successfully by producing a code of practice for good animal feeding. There was a request from certain member countries that the Codex should resume its work on animal feeding. At the same time, there were views expressed by other countries that the Codex should not resume its work on animal feeding that quickly, because some countries needed more time to implement the code in the first place and evaluate the need for further Codex guidance. In view of the divergent opinions, the 55th session of the Executive Committee recommended to the Commission to postpone the consideration of the matter until 2008. However, the 28th session of the Commission last year did not concur with the recommendation of the Executive Committee, and the Commission noted the willingness of certain countries to host a re-established task force and work, and there was no agreement in the Commission. So this is a reason why the matter was deferred for further discussion at the 29th session of the Commission being held next week. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Chairman, and I mean Secretary, and already as Executive Committee, we had a decision that we had made earlier, that we had recommended that we should postpone work on this task, work on animal feeding, and of course the Commission did not agree with us, but it's a decision, and it left it open for discussion in the meeting next week. And as Executive Committee, have we changed our minds or we're in our position? Our recommendation still remains, or we have a different recommendation now after these 2 years? Any flag? Canada, please.
Yes, we would propose that our position remain the same, that we defer reestablishing the task force until we have more experience with the implementation of the results of the first, what we consider, very successful task force. Thank you.
Any other views? So we note that the Executive Committee still maintain its position, and of course it's open for discussion in the Commission, the 29th Commission. Okay. And then can we go to the next item, and it's implementation of the WHO Global Strategy on Diet and Physical Activity and Health, and you want to introduce that or WHO to introduce?
It's up to WHO to decide.
I need to be guided. Please, ready to. You present? Okay, WHO, please.
Thank you, Chair. On the 55th session of this committee, you had agreed to ask WHO in cooperation with FAO to prepare a document highlighting the actions that Codex might take within the mandate, of course, of its operational mandate, to take the implementation of the global strategy on diet, physical activity, and health. And it also, you also indicated document would be considered by the next session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Then your recommendation was then analyzed by the 28th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission and agreed, and the CAC agreed to ask WHO and FAO to prepare such a document and to submit this consideration by the committees on food labeling and on nutrition and foods for special dietary uses. And also to then submit this again for the Codex Alimentarius Commission, taking into account the proposals put forward by these two Codex committees. But when during the discussions, it was also recognized that as the global strategy is a new initiative, this process should be a careful process that took into consideration the vision of the member states, and time was needed and to allow the member states to analyze the initiative and to consider really how to link it with the Codex activities. Also, we have discussed as it required really time for development such an action document, and we had a first discussion on this process with the Codex Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses, we have agreed that, in fact, any action, any new action, should as much as possible build upon the and complement the work that has already is already taking place and is progressing within the Codex committees. Then, to this end, then we have presented for discussion during the 27th session of the CCNFSDU and the 34th session of CCFL, a proposal of an electronic forum where we had posted some a series of concerning the implementation of global strategy within the Codex context. And we then, it was a way of providing the opportunity for the member states to comment. And that would be the major input for us to prepare such an action document. The questions were posted in the WHO website. All Codex focal points were informed. And the inputs were electronically through 7th April this year. We have then prepared this document that is now submitted for your consideration, and we have made a summary of the comments so far. We have received 15 comments. The comments were very substantial. We really think that the member states have took this as a very comprehensive and serious task, and had a lot of thought into the comments that were sent to us. So we would like to thank all the member states that have sent us comments. And we have then, we are requesting the Commission to accept, in fact, the delay in presenting a action document that was requested for WHO and FAO, because we really thought that this process of consultation would end up in a much more robust and substantial and for moving this area of work within Codex. We have then as next steps, we like therefore the Codex Alimentarius Commission to accept our delay and our for this delay and the process that we have set up. And if the Commission so decides, then WHO and FAO, on the basis of this input and the decision and the discussion so far, will complete the action document and will circulate it for comments to all Codex contact points again through a letter. And the comments received together with the document itself will be submitted for consideration by the next sessions of the CCNFSDU and CCFL. When this process then finalizes, we will then forward the final product to the 30th session of the Commission for further guidance.
Thank you very much, WHO. And I think as an executive committee, we take this as a matter of information, and is the committee to listen to the presentation made to us and also decide whether they would agree with the requests as detailed from WHO or not. So I don't think we have much that we can say as executive committee on the presentation. Switzerland?
Thank you, Chair. Just a question for clarification. National committees included in this procedure, I think once it was opinions that we discuss it on the regional basis as well, but is not foreseen any longer. Thank you for clarification.
No, we did not envision in the process a discussion at the regional committees. We have opened up the opportunity for all member states and all focal points to input through the electronic forum, and then we will follow up with more in-depth discussions in the two committees.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Of course, the coordinate, nothing prevents from a coordinating committee to pick up any issues of interest to the region that has regards to the food standard setting work. However, Mr. Chairman, specifically to the point in which the Commission is trying to define areas, if any, where the Commission at the global level can help the implementation of global strategy, I think the Commission has clearly decided that two venues exist. One is the labeling committee, and the other one is the nutrition committee. So rather than multiplying the venue for parallel discussion, it might be an idea for the exec committee to maintain or support the prior decision of the Commission to mandate the CCFL and CCFNSDU to continue to follow up the issue in as far as the Codex action on the global strategy concerned. But having said, of course, the coordinating committee could discuss the implication of the global strategy to the countries in the region, to the extent that will affect the national or standard setting or regional standard setting areas of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that clarification. And Cameroon, please.
Oui, merci, Monsieur le Président. J'ai bien suivi le rapport qui a été fait par l'OMS et nous continuons à penser que vraiment il faut beaucoup de concertation dans le cadre de la mise en œuvre de cette stratégie. Alors, je ne sais pas jusqu'où les recommandations du comité de l'agriculture de la FAO ont été prises en charge dans ce contexte. Vous savez très bien que cette question a induit une session extraordinaire du comité de l'agriculture de la FAO. Donc ça, c'est quelque chose qu'il faudrait un peu prendre en considération. Jusqu'où est-ce que les recommandations du sous-comité de l'agriculture ont été prises en charge dans l'opération au niveau de l'OMS. Je vous remercie.
Thank you. Cameroon, maybe not so much of WHO, but I understand in the 55th session of the Executive Committee, we had clearly said WHO in collaboration with FAO. So I hope they did collaborate. But while FAO is consulting with the Secretary, maybe FAO can say something? Because it's FAO mentioned and...
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there was a little bit of confusion with other activity that is similar to this one that was debated at the Committee on Agriculture, which was the recommendation of the expert consultation on carbohydrates. That is the one that was really debated, and this one. So far, I think it has not been brought to the attention of our governing bodies in FAO. This said, I think our colleagues in the Food and Nutrition Division, or the Nutrition and Consumer Protection Division now it's called, have been working together with WHO colleagues on the preparation of the document, and they are fully involved in this exercise. So. FAO is very much working hand in hand with WHO on to see to what extent this global strategy can be applied through Codex. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think as Executive Committee, we can only note the information provided. And again, WHO will present the same information to the Commission next week. Okay. Can we go to the next slide? Yes.